You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Have you been to Marie's Crisis? Is that what it's called? In the West Village?
No.
They just play show tunes.
I wasn't allowed below 14th Street.
Show tunes?
Yeah.
I love show tunes. Love show tunes.
Well, it might be on like West 12th.
Like, God, I hope I get it.
I hope I get it.
I really need this job.
By the way, Ofer in that studio.
Yeah.
Ofer.
I thought you were into show tunes.
Because I've got, remember how big, does that song play? Song by Judy Landers. In the movie with Michael Douglas,
right?
Judy Landers saying, but now I've got TNA.
Jess, chorus line doesn't do anything for you?
You're making fun of me.
No.
I don't think
anyone in the studio doesn't know that line.
But she's the musical person, so I'm
just...
I've never seen a chorus line, yeah. Or Waitress.
That's totally different things, but why did you compare those two?
Because, like, I feel like they're musicals that people always tell me, like, reference. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen those two.
I think Chorus Line is way more famous.
Really?
Yes.
Than Waitress. Like, not even close.
I feel like Waitress has, like, a cult following. Jer-Bear, get in here.
Cult following, by definition, means it's not sort of widely.
Well, musical people always say to me, like, oh, what about this? What about that? That's one they always say.
But you've done, now, will you see musicals from before you were born? Like, West Side Story and things like that?
My top five list is all old musicals.
Like Gypsy?
No, not that old.
Miss Saigon and
that's not
Damn
old.
Damn Yankees.
Phantom of the Opera?
Well, yes, Phantom.
Okay.
Jesus Christ Superstar. Well, I don't want to give away my top five.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is Phantom of the Opera from before you were born?
Oh, yeah. It's a old. It has to be. The movie came out when I was really young.
The movie came out when you were 10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gerard Butler one?
Yeah. You don't remember? They made a movie version in like 2004, 2003.
Didn't see it.
Yeah.
It was not
terrible.
Bad.
It was terrible.
Wait, have you seen the movie version of Cats?
Oh. No.
Cinephobe episode. What was it, Roy? Oh, no.
I can't believe that people watch the Diaries of Cats.
No, Juju
right?
wasn't on that. Juju was on a later one, and he was complaining that he spent money to watch Cats.
I would love to hear the Juju episode where he breaks down Cats.
Did the producers actually watch, write the dailies and say, hey, this is going well? We're doing great.
I think they just thought, look,
it's a train wreck and there's nothing we can do.
But we're going to get our money back by people wanting to see these names, right? You got...
they didn't get their money
Jennifer
back.
Jennifer Hudson. No, they didn't.
They got crushed. I mean, Waterworld level, Ishtar level of crushing.
Ishtar. I remember I liked Ishtar.
Thank you for going Ishtar instead of Waterworld. Well, the movie still bangs.
My father made me go see Waterworld when it came out because he said, I want to see what the most expensive movie ever made, like what they do with the money. And we watched, and he walks up, wow, that was a bad movie. I'm like, I know.
I thought it was great.
It was terrible.
So ambitious.
That's also why Mike said he wants to watch the Lord of the Rings series on Amazon.
Yeah, I want to see how expensive.
How $50 million an episode looks.
Yeah. My guess is catering.
Not if they're handing out Dasani.
You mean it's not like containers of peanut butter pretzels and Lifesavers?
Oh, you've seen our spread. Welcome to the height of the entertainment.
Would it kill you to do a Costco run?
Cats' budget was $100 million, and they made worldwide $75 million. And that's not
counting the marketing costs.
And that's not counting market costs.
What percentage saw it ironically, like the Minions movie?
Well, that started happening almost immediately after it got released. Said, wow, this is a total dud. Let's go
the
make
Cats
fun
movie?
Of Cats. I'm sure while they were filming it, they were like, it'll come out clean in the wash after all the CGI and stuff. But the CGI was a big problem.
The trailer was incredible. It came out when I was on vacation with my sister a couple summers ago, and I sang memories to her like every night for 7 days. She wanted to kill me. Mm. It was a great trailer.
If you talk to actors, they'll actually tell you they don't know how the movie's coming out as they're filming it. because it's filmed in such a way, as you know, that just they do it out of order. They do it in snippets. It's hard to imagine. But I can't imagine that the people doing Cat said, wow. But did Warren Beatty know about, right? Did he and Dustin Hoffman, did they say, oh my God, this just sucks? Like, we're in trouble here.
I think when you put on the outfit and you look at yourself in the mirror, you're thinking, no, this is not good.
What about in Total Recall when the guy's coming out of the stomach? Do you say, oh my God, that's cool? Like, this is going to play well?
Well, at least...
Quato?
Yeah.
Isn't there, like, a part where you're like, well, they'll make it look cooler, right? Like, obviously, we're just shooting it for practical purposes like this, but it'll look cooler in post. Like with
they would have said that in Cats, though.
No.
Hey, this is going to look really cool when I'm next to a cat. And I'm like, shh.
Such a strange movie.
Do you guys remember, like, right before it came out, when the rumors started coming out that the CGI wasn't finished yet, and it was, like, a day before they were delivering it to the studio or something? That was a really exciting day on Twitter.
I'll tell you an exciting day on Twitter when they had the first trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Creepy yes. Sonic, who makes an appearance, by the way.
In the Chippendale movie.
In the Chippendale movie.
I love it. the human teeth Sonic.
Oh,
bad CGI. Human.
You see a lot of bad movies.
That's his side hustle.
I know. Yeah. That's your hustle.
That's the main hustle.
That's how you afford everything.
I
don't know if
you looked at the numbers recently. I mean,
that's how you get illustrators to give you pieces of art. All the side hustles. Hey, look at that Van Gogh. That guy's a good illustrator.
Pretzels must have been salty.
Yeah.
David has watched the rehearsal. He's watched all six episodes, and he has notes that I did not know about post the finale. Now, Jess, do you know about anything about the finale other than what you saw?
No. I watched the finale. I haven't read any reviews of it. I've just sat with it for like 5 days.
Did you binge it?
Yes,
or
week by week.
Okay, so I watched all six in a row. So that's an interesting question, is whether or not we are reacting to the show differently because of the way we watched it, where I did it in one sitting.
You must be in a weird headspace right now then.
It stayed with me. So I started it yesterday, and I didn't know anything about him. I'd never seen Nathan For You. Had you seen Nathan For You before you started?
Every single episode.
Love Nathan For You.
Okay, so you knew what you were up for then?
100%.
No, I didn't know what I was in for.
I guess what he's saying is, you know Nathan's style.
I know his style. I know that right. It was going to be awkward. I wasn't quite prepared. My wife had seen every episode of Nathan For You with me, and she's out on the rehearsal. Yeah. I have to watch it on my own because she thought it was way too uncomfortable.
I never heard of him, by the way.
Really? Well, I think what you mean is like his style, where he's kind of playing himself, but he's also a character, and he's also setting people up for stuff that they might not know they're being set up for. Right? Is that
didn't
that
know any of that?
Because that's kind of Nathan For You. Yeah. They're kind of making fun of.
I didn't know that
regular
even
people.
Now.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a no brainer that he started working with Sacha Baron Cohen after Nathan For You. He was a producer and a writer on the most recent Borat movie.
Nice.
Right, you're telling me something that I didn't know while binging the rehearsal.
See, that would be
I was not aware.
Shocking.
I can't believe you didn't go very nice there.
Better nice.
There you go.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Wait, are you telling me the rehearsal is not real? Are you telling me the people in the rehearsal did not know they were in a TV show?
They knew they were in a TV show. They didn't know what the TV show was. They thought the TV show was about helping them do things, right? And instead, it's a TV show where we're laughing at these people.
Wait, so it's an unscripted? The rehearsal was unscripted?
Well, it's scripted for the actors. Right? All the actors are...
So there's like marks, but then there's also hired actors.
Wait, you didn't
actors.
Know like Angela is a real person and...
Time out.
Wait, David.
No!
Time out. Stop.
Angela
Stop.
Is an actor too, by the
Stop
way, if you read up on
taping.
Stuff.
Are you telling me there's people in the rehearsal who are not actors?
Yes. So
you're telling me
my
that
man
Remy
Orange...
was not an actor, just a kid they got off the street?
That's a real person, yes.
Well, all actors are real people.
No. Like some
His
people
name
just...
is Remy.
Well, okay, well, let's differentiate actors versus people playing themselves. Like, there's actors that they hire to be characters, and then there's right. people in the show that are playing themselves.
Oh, hold on.
Great question. Let me
clarify.
Not an
so
Orange, that's not an
my
actor.
Man, my man in episode one, Orange Juice, right? Like, I have a rum and coke and an orange juice. I can't remember his name.
Core Skeet.
Skeet, yeah, right? He is a real person. He answered a Craigslist ad about, like, hey, we're shooting a TV show helping people overcome their fears or whatever. And so he actually wants to tell his friend, this is a real person. These are real people. Now, the people Nathan hires to play, like, you know, as he rehearses, he's got the fake skeet there, right? And the fake friend and all that. Those are actors, right? But Remy is an actor, but because he's a child, he actually thinks, like, he cannot separate my job from my real life.
But so that's in general, like, child actors, the guy who's now suing for being naked on the cover of the Nirvana album, right?
Yeah,
Your parents are totally manipulating you. All child actors the same, just to steal your money.
He lost that, by the way.
Yes.
Why?
Because his penis looks nothing like it did then. And
was that what the judge ruled?
No, I don't think that was the official rule.
That's the unofficial holding of the case.
Because how would they know?
People are not hurting. Well, that was his claim, right? That he was exposed to an entire group of people.
What really undid him was that he had given plenty of interviews along the way.
Happy that he wore
it as a badge of honor.
That's the one of those who's sitting around smoking with his friends. Like,
I'm not sure.
You ever try suing them for using that without your consent, bro? Like, that's a great idea.
I'm not sure they got to discovery on that one, really. I don't think the judge looked at his penis.
I don't know how to talk about the rehearsal right now.
Well, I think one of the main...
Well, what did you think it was?
I thought it was a TV show. A brilliant TV show.
So you thought it was all scripted?
I thought it was a completely scripted TV show where he was taking you on different levels. It was very Inception-like to me.
It is.
Wow.
About all the... Is this
so
a rehearsal?
This must because rock your world.
I am, which has not happened to me often. I'm speechless. I noticed the different actresses who played the same role because there were different rehearsals going on.
How did you miss that? I guess it's because... Well, the premise, but maybe he just thought the premise was fake. If you're familiar with Nathan Fielder's work,
I wasn't.
Then you know that this is the angle.
So the So I was told by someone, by several, right? This is like 30 people had all tweeted at me saying, "Hey, are you okay? Do you need water? This is right from the peanut butter.
He's fine.
Okay,
don't
that's
worry
normal.
About him.
Okay, well, I'm worried because I'm close to him, and I feel like I'm in the movie theater in Outbreak right now.
Yeah, but you know,
you've been coughing all day, David.
No, but I do this. I do this.
When others of us choke, Amin doesn't get concerned, so he's fine.
Okay.
This is great, because yesterday, Tony had a chip lodged in his throat.
Oh, the shard.
Like an actual? So he actually choked.
That
requires stopping taping.
But then what happened? What happened, Tony?
I powered through. I went like this. And all of a sudden, it went down. 2 seconds, I was in and out. I had two coughs, one throat. And then I was done.
Would you have been willing to go for a third, or would you have panicked and required help?
Oh, no. I'd go for as long as I can.
Before what? Passing out
Before
or asking
I die,
for help?
Yeah. Before Man. I die.
That's terrible. That's the worst plan ever. You've got it. When you're choking,
let's rehearse it.
Didn't get that far. So.
Let's freaking rehearse it.
Am I right?
That's what I thought the show was. Just so you know, I thought the show was about that he has a situation, and the whole bit is that he then rehearses it. He builds the whole set, the whole bar set that's built.
Yes. That is the bit, but there is one very real person in the middle of it.
Okay, yes. So he that was never
ads.
Told.
He would so that okay. Maybe you needed to know that before, because like Nathan, for you, that's what he would do. He'd put out like things on Craigslist or whatever, where people would say, "Oh, I have this struggling business. I need help with whatever." So he would find. People
I never
who were
that.
In somewhat
like,
dire
I'll
or
give,
desperate situations
but
seeking help.
Example.
But in the rehearsal, correct me if I'm wrong, Billy, he does mention that this is a real person. Are you just...
I thought that was part of the show.
Yeah, if you thought...
You just... you didn't... You didn't believe him.
He just
no, but I thought that was
verite.
Yes.
You thought it was just done.
That's
in that
what you're
style.
Rehearsing. You're rehearsing someone who wants to be a mom. You're rehearsing someone who wants to tell his brother that you're not going to get the money from the.
So Nathan, for you, a great example. There's a pizza place and they're struggling, and so they answer the Craigslist call of like, "Hey, we're doing a TV show to help. We've got a guy who can help turn your business around." So Nathan goes and said, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to start a new promotion that if we don't deliver the pizza within 15 minutes, you get a free pizza." And the guy's like, "How are we going to be able to? We can't. There's impossible to make a pizza and deliver it within 15 minutes. Like, here's what we do. You make the pizza, you deliver it. Of course, you're going to be late." So then they ask for where their free pizza is, and you give them one. It's literally the size of a cookie with a little box and everything. Here's your free pizza. So they still have to pay for the pizza that they got, and here's the free pizza. So it's a lot of silly kind of bending the rules loopholes. And he has that deadpan delivery. It's like, "Well, I think this is a great idea." You know. So that is the premise of the show. So there were real people, real businesses. There was an ice cream place,
and yep. he makes poop flavored ice cream there to get people
TV,
to come to it.
A TV place that was giving away free TVs, but you had to crawl through a dog door. And there's an alligator on my whole
realtor,
idea
of the show. The psychic realtor was one of the best, and they do an exorcism on the house.
Yeah.
Like, they were all real, but Nathan was fake.
This is like candid camera a little bit.
Not really,
like,
because they know they're on camera, but they just...
It's a new
they
twist.
But they don't know that Nathan's not in on...
They assume he's a well-intentioned person.
They think he's being sincere.
Trying to help him.
They don't know it's a TV show?
They know it's a TV show, but they think it's like a TV show like
a Flip This House.
Bar Rescue.
Yeah, like Bar Rescue. They think it's like Bar Rescue. But Nathan is just making fun of them.
And did you go into the rehearsal knowing that it was the same concept?
I knew his work, and I knew he was going to do a show that was going to be a reality show.
The publicity for it beforehand was very unclear. Basically, like 3 or 4 weeks before, he just put out like on social media like the rehearsal and then the date. So then there's like buildup because Nathan For You hasn't been on for years. So if you like the show, you're like, oh, wow, he's getting another show. I wonder what it's going to be. But it was like... really unclear what it was. So you go into it not knowing what the show is.
So now with that knowledge, knowing that that child actor has blurred the lines of reality to the point where, spoiler alert.
That was his real mother then?
Yes.
And that was a real situation because that's what happened after the finale. I read a bunch of articles where there is a major controversy going on that he went over the line and had a problem with this kid. And may have done, I'm not talking about abuse, I'm not talking about pedophilia, I'm talking about just...
Exploitative.
He exploited the kid. And I read the article and I'm like,
it's more than exploitative.
People are way too serious. Like, what are they talking about? This is a child actor who was all part of a show.
Right.
But now I'm hearing totally differently.
No, he was a child actor who was part of a show, but then the show ended and the child could not, he's too young to understand that was just make-believe. He's thinking... But I want to hang out with Daddy. And it's like, I'm not...
Wait, so did... time. Yeah. Did he call Nathan Daddy in the show or in real life?
Both.
He called Nathan Daddy in the show. The show's over, the show that they were doing, which is with Angela and all that.
Right.
But the kid could not conceive of, hey, all right, that was pretend, now life is over. So he's complaining to his mom, as we saw... I want to hang out with Daddy.
So that was real or not real?
That part was real.
Oh, my God.
That part was real.
I'm done. Did Linda Blair not know that doesn't happen, that your head can't spin like that?
My favorite part is, like, I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, Lord, this is really bad because this kid doesn't know the difference. And then Nathan says, where'd you buy that sweatshirt? To the mom. And she says, buckle. And then next thing you know,
they do the whole rehearsal. Like, it's just unbelievable.
That's why I thought it was a show.
And he paints his nails.
He painted his tattoo. She had the tattoos.
Yes.
And the actresses playing the mother in the rehearsal had the tattoos as well.
Well, she wasn't an actress. She's actually the mother.
You're telling me now, and I'm hearing the words you're saying, and I cannot believe it.
I think you need to rewatch it now.
I'm never watching it again. Like it's not as brilliant as I thought it was.
It's more brilliant. It's terrible as like from a moral standpoint, but it's next level brilliant.
I was going to review it as next level brilliant, but you are making it so he was.
He's a monster.
Well,
yes.
I think the real conversation that's come out of it is whether or not child actors or actresses can really consent. And what their parents should or should not be allowed to do. And so in this situation, the mom allowed this 3-year-old son, who maybe didn't know what acting was or wasn't, to participate in the show with Nathan, who was playing his dad, but didn't have a father figure in his actual life.
Right.
So that line was really blurred for him, and he didn't understand what was fake and what was real. Well, so there are states, California, New York being two of them, where there are child... actor laws that are you're supposed to put 10% of your earnings in a trust, stuff like that, because there was very famous cases of parents like
Drew Barrymore, right?
You know,
Gary Coleman,
Macaulay Culkin.
Child actors being upset that their parents basically exploited them, and they had this really weird upbringing, and then kept all the money, and they didn't get anything of it, even though it was their labor.
Right.
And so there's certain states where there's some protections, I guess. Maybe they're not strong enough now, but there's other states where there's none. And now with parents on YouTube or social media that are making a lot of money off of content about their children, there may not be any protection in place, and the lines really blurred about what your kid's doing and who's making money off of it, and whether or not they can consent.
But Jess, here's the problem. All that is financial protection.
Yes,
right?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, we're talking about their mental well-being.
Yeah, like this
100%,
kid,
yes.
Let's just 100%. Assume he gets to keep all the money that they made for making the show, and they made millions of dollars in, you know, residuals and all that. That's not going to fix the trauma.
Yes.
Of believing, like,
that's why a lot of critics have problems with the finale of the show, because there's what law do you put in place that undoes this if this ends up becoming a long-lasting psychological damage on this 3-year-old kid?
Does it make me awful that, like, as I was uncovering all this is unraveling, I'm like, I bow before you, sir. You are a king among us in content creation. That is amazing. It's terrible, but it's amazing. That's why I said it's next level genius, evil genius, but genius nonetheless.
That's kind of what the point of the show was, though, I guess.
Was it?
To make you think about it at the end?
No, that wasn't
his monologue at the end.
That wasn't the point of the show, Jess. The point of the show, like, I think the show evolved, right? Like, the point of the show was supposed to be a different rehearsal in a different, you know, with
don't know. I think that they did that first episode just to kind of like get you slowly into what was going on, because like the first episode was the closest to Nathan For You that the entire season was.
Yes.
And you then thought every week we're going to do another one of these, and then
they did because
different.
The second one was Angela, the third one was the brother, right, who's trying to prove to his other brother that like he's not into a gold digger or whatever
his inheritance.
But because the Angela was so fascinating as a character,
but that one was always going to be a long con, because like even if they followed the script, it was like a week for every 3 years or something like that, right? So like, you are at least going to be six to 8 weeks into this.
But we don't know how long each one of these is taking. Like, again, think about this. Think about how long it took them to build that bar. Think about how long it took them to build the replica of the dude's house. Think about how long it took them to...
The acting class.
The acting class. Like, all of this stuff takes time. It's just edited down to a very quick...
Well, that's why I don't know if maybe the part with Angela was the most interesting, so they stretched that into a season arc.
That's what I'm saying.
After the
like,
fact, or
because,
maybe they went into it like, we're going to start this way and lure everyone in with this Nathan For You-esque...
Is Angela the tattooed lady?
No, Angela is the one who thinks Google
the
is
Jesus
the devil.
Freak.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's a real... Say this again, because I still cannot
Angela's
get this.
Angela's a real person.
She's not an actress.
She's not an actress.
Well, she's on Cameo.
She's on Cameo now, yeah.
Well...
Oh, how about the
I'm not reviewing the rehearsal now.
Doing a fantasy football special, right? Yeah.
The Jewish tutor.
Yes.
Who, like, it was like...
That's not an actress either?
No. So
she came in to tutor what she thought was an actual boy.
Well, no, she
it was
knew,
an actual boy.
She knew the boy wasn't... is an actor, because he explains to her, we're doing this thing, we're helping this woman trying to figure out whether or not she can adopt a child or not, or have a child or whatever. But she doesn't agree with kind of Judaism or whatever. And like, I feel like this child needs to be exposed to that.
So her anti-Semitic ravings and rantings is not a script.
No.
Correct.
No. Angela? The anti-Semitic?
Yes.
No. Yeah, that's
likewise,
that's real.
What the teacher says
the
at
teacher
the end
said,
of the episode was not,
is not scripted.
No.
And we know this.
As far
this,
as we know.
We don't know this.
As far as we know, but like that's... I mean,
I think it seems like that's real.
That's how he does his shows.
Yeah.
The boyfriend with the numerology, that was also a real person.
Real person.
Yeah, that's
Vice
a real
found
person.
Jesus. Vice found him, interviewed
three.
Him.
When he's taking bong rips, right, that was not scripted.
No.
When he drinks and drives and texts and drives, that was in a car without realizing that he wasn't
told
Nathan to do
ended
that.
Up
yeah,
driving.
I think production stepped in there and was like, Nathan, you got to drive. But yeah, him thinking that you don't need a license plate to drive was real.
Right.
And you read this, or you're speculating?
No. I Vice caught up with the guy, interviewed him.
I'm done. And that it ruins it all for me.
It ruins it.
It ruins it all for me.
Like to me, if it were all scripted and it was just a TV show,
I thought it was brilliant of him. I thought he was brilliant. Is it brilliant to find a pothead who breaks laws, right? Who pretends? So he thinks he's going there. Did he really leave the house when he wasn't going to have sex?
Yes.
It can't be.
How about the night owl? The guy who falls asleep 5 minutes into the show.
That's real.
But hold on. It was probably more than just the not having sex. It was also like, why am I getting up every 2 hours for a robot baby that's crying? Like, what am I doing with my life?
Why would he even walk in the house?
In the Vice interview, he said, like they exaggerated the baby's crying. It was louder and it was every 5 seconds. Like it wasn't like a real baby. It's like he said I was led to believe that it would mirror a real baby somewhere else.
Well, Nathan, they showed you that behind the scenes. Nathan was in the garage with the guy operating the fake baby.
Yeah.
Baby.
And,
he was like, make it really annoying. And so they like did it extra.
You can get an actual baby to be that annoying.
Well, like, they couldn't because of child labor laws.
Yeah, they couldn't because
he could have brought his own. Does he have kids?
Nathan, I'm going to guess no.
No, because that's like the point of this. It's
wait,
like,
that's his real, he's really deciding whether he wants to be a father.
I think he puts some of his personality into the show. In the season 4 finale Nathan For You, it gets really serious and earnest. And I don't know Nathan Fielder's personal life. He's like kind of talked about, like, he's divorced, like not a ton of details. But like you kind of assume that there's a little part of it that he's injecting into it about like maybe he's not as lonely as his character is pretending to be. But like he feels some of that and he's putting that back into this.
His mom, when his mom is talking to him, like, this is why your other relationship didn't work out and all that. Like, his mom, that's real.
Those
are his actual parents.
All right. So I may rewatch it now just for fun, but I am extremely disappointed to hear it.
I don't know how you could be disappointed. I'd be disappointed if I found out they were all actors and this was all scripted. To me, what makes it amazing is, first of all, that there are people like this. But second of all, his ability to stay in character throughout all of this and not break, not even once. I'm staggered by it. And their ability to continue as things are developing in real time to say, okay, let's shift it in this direction. So Jess, to your point, I don't think he started with like, hey, I want to see how it is to be a father. I think as this thing is happening, he's like, yo, wouldn't it be funny if now Nathan takes this and internalizes this? I want to see what fatherhood is like without Angela.
Did the guy have a drug overdose?
No. That was an actor.
Well, you're saying, wait a minute. You're saying no like it's impossible. We just spent 20 minutes talking about
it. He was in the episode later.
Yeah. He crawled back out of the slide after he like went down. Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't have a drug overdose, but Angela definitely was dancing like a maniac to the dumbest song.
The video of her when the kid's leaving. So none of it's scripted. Whatever. All right, I'm past it because there's so much other stuff to talk about, but I'm despondent.
Are you have to watch Nathan For You now?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to ponder that. I don't know if I want to reward him. He's hurt me. I thought he was one of the most brilliant people I'd ever seen.
What he did to the kids.
Right, those damn
Maybe
kids.
Maybe it's not Nathan For You then.
Nathan may not be for me. But the whole thing about Remy, that was two bad ones for Jessica today.
Really? I'm on a heater. That was like 7 bad ones in a row.
Speaking of heaters, I may watch it. So I had all these people saying, hey, watch it. Like, you're going to love it and review it for me on Nothing Personal. So I wanted to do it. And I was going to give it the greatest review here on The Levitard Show. And now I'm not.
Doesn't it make it smarter to you?
No, makes it less smart. I thought he wrote it all. I thought he literally wrote it all.
It's such a much more ambitious project because you can't account for what real people are going to do. They're not trained actors.
But he may have filmed 25 different real people and chosen one that finally took the long hit.
That's
right. So there's no way to ever know.
He had the guy that went on the date with Angela, whose biggest fear in the world is eels, and then that's all we saw of that person. So like they were cast. He was looking for people who were the strangest.
It's like people go on Springer, right? Like they're looking for a particular kind of person.
But we know going in. Listen, it's like with wrestling. If you thought that wrestling was not fixed and then discovered it was fixed, how would you feel? If you became a fan of it because you thought it was real competition and then you find out it's fixed, how about highlight?
But you're doing the opposite. You're doing the opposite. You're saying, I thought wrestling was scripted. And now I'm finding out it's not like they're just actually all.
No, it's the. I'm talking about the concept. Yeah, when you believe that something is a certain way and then you find out it's not.
I think it depends. Like, it to me, some of this stuff makes it. It raises it. It raises the, like Mike said, the ambition level and it raises the stakes.
I'm different.
But it also, it makes it a lot meaner, for sure.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low-price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
I heard the hotel industry is moving away from providing shampoo and soap.
Oh, don't get me started on them.
Yeah.
Do not get me started on hotels and the stuff that they do.
Right. What they take from me, I feel like I'm entitled to take something from them. Thank you, Billy.
They're going to throw away the shampoo. They're going to throw away the soap. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the sheets and I'm talking about the towels.
Stugats.
Oh, we really care about the environment. So please hang up your towels. Get out of here. You just don't want to wash these towels because it's going to cost you money to wash these towels. All right. This whole thing about you're saving the whales or you're saving the turtles or whatever because I put my towel on a hanger. It is so full of it. All right. You just don't want to give me fresh towels every day. Just call it what it is. Tell me you don't want to give me fresh towels. I'm still going to throw it on the floor. All right. I feel like water is a renewable resource. And you're not really saving the ocean by using water to clean my towel, are you? Am I missing something? What am I missing?
Nail right on the head.
Am I missing something?
The end of the story.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I'm the one who was pissed off in Bohemian Rhapsody when I found out that Queen had never actually broken up and that their first show back was not Live Aid, where they needed a detente. And, like, I get upset about that.
But that's, we talked about this last week. All music biopics are terrible because they're so whitewashed and, like, it just is so dumb. And all it is nostalgia. It's playing on the nostalgia of, you guys remember these songs, right? All right, what if we did a whole movie? Where and this is how, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody happened. And this is how We Will Rock You. No, that's not how any of that happened. But it sounds good because people just want to hear the song and imagine things. Same thing with Rocket Man. Same thing with, what's that other one?
There's so many.
Rocket Man was... It was an odd movie, but it at least was a little bit more honest than some of the other ones.
He didn't leave the garden to go to rehab. I do know that. But, in any case, the point is...
But at least it was honest about the rehab and some of his warts. Not the case at all with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Straight Out of Compton was the other one.
Now I'm concerned because I was going to review tomorrow and I don't want to do it today, but the new George Michael documentary.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Okay, so
I'm in on that.
It's called Uncut. Freedom Uncut. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But if you come to me tomorrow and tell me that none of that is real, it's gonna completely ruin it for me.
Because it's a documentary. Presumably, they're not going to take creative licenses in the way that Bohemian Rhapsody did. But it's definitely going to be polished up, right?
One of the best documentaries I was just talking about, the Bee Gees one, that was on HBO Max. It came out some time ago. It's a very good documentary. It is not at all super honest, especially when it comes to Andy Gibb and some of his addictions. They kind of gloss over that. It's still very interesting. Yeah. It's still very revealing. The footage is great. The stories are great, but it's not completely honest.
Does glossing over make something dishonest? Not to me.
In my opinion.
It's an editorial decision.
I think it's not in good faith.
It's not. And especially for many of these stories, it's a major part of why the person is the way they are. Right. So you can't really tell the story of Bohemian Rhapsody and not talk about like some of what's my man's name?
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury's kind of like he's a
proclivities.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit. Like,
don't say that.
Well, I mean, but like, OK,
he had different lifestyle choices.
He displayed the behaviors of a piece of shit.
No, don't make that correlation. There were other things about Freddie Mercury that just weren't very nice to folks.
Everybody has that.
But that's part of like what made him him. You know, it's not like, oh, everyone's kind of as it has been a dick from time to time. Right. Like that's a major kind of thread of how this person ended up being who they are. Imagine doing a Barry Bonds documentary or movie, biopic. And in it, just Barry's amazing. He's just amazing. And forget about not mentioning PED use. Not mentioning he was an absolute asshole to everybody.
The like number one.
That's part of, like, that you, it's inextricable. It's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was an asshole. And there are people who, when you say that, well, oh no, you know, like, I'm like, no, this is known. It's known.
So does it ruin it for you? Did you watch The Last Dance and say this is just fantasy? I didn't watch The Captain because I knew it wasn't real.
That's a perfect example.
Right. That's not a documentary, but I don't view those as documentaries. That's a fiction piece. Like, Last Dance to me was not a documentary.
But this is what we're dealing with, I think, with many of these things, because the common thread in all of these productions is executive produced by the guy who the story's about.
But, I mean, we do get some insight into Michael Jordan being an asshole. Like, I left that. I left the 10 hours going, Michael Jordan was a prick.
Wait, did you walk in thinking he wasn't?
I didn't really have enough. I just kind of know him from commercials, like Winter Guy and all that stuff. Like, I actually, I don't know a lot about Michael Jordan. Yeah, I never saw Michael Jordan play basketball.
What?
I didn't either.
Other than for the Wizards, but his last game was in 1998. I was six.
I didn't either, but I grew up in Chicago.
Oh, it's a big shout.
I'm with you, Whit. I didn't watch him play live ever. My dad had. He was a huge Bulls fan. But then I watched The Last Dance, and it added a little bit of context. And I don't think he came away looking amazing. He didn't look like a huge... Like,
I thought it was fairly honest. I mean, other than the fact that...
But how do you know?
Because I would have imagined that he would do it like Derek Jeter would have.
So do you
like,
know...
Just like it's,
Derek
you know,
Jeter would say it was honest, though.
I know, but Derek Jeter was like, oh, you know, I grew up and I wanted to be the shortstop for the Yankees. And it was like all this aspirational. Like, I thought it would be fortune cookie nonsense.
Do you know the story about his Hall of Fame enshrinement speech?
Yes.
Do you know, like, the extent of it?
I mean, he was basically, he showed up to be a dick to people.
But, like, not
Derek Jeter or Jordan?
Jordan,
and
yeah.
And he invited people so he could be mean to them.
So, like, and the guy he got cut for in high school, he flew the dude out. And got him like great seats, sat him there, and then shouted him out in his speech and says, you know, Larry Smith or whatever his name was, like, I got cut for you. Yeah, that coach, I bet that coach knows he made a mistake now. Like, that was it.
It was
wasn't
super
like,
bitter.
You helped me, like, you, it was just like, I'm just shouting
you
out.
You motivated me, you made nothing. Me a better basketball player.
I mean, that happened very, probably 10 years ago, because that was when the whole crying Jordan meme came out of. And that happened, like, in my adult consciousness. So I always knew like Jordan was this guy who had this huge chip on his shoulder. And even though he had won six championships in the NBA, he still was like, I am the best. And everyone that doubted me still sucks. And I haven't forgiven them.
He said to his kids, I would hate to be you. And I
said to my kids, I didn't want kids.
I hate to be you is worse than I don't want kids. I hate to be you. I mean, he's like, oh man, it must suck not being awesome. Like, and
oh, that's not what he meant.
That's exactly what he meant.
Like, you don't have the skills I have on the court.
Like,
or you have to live in my shadow.
You have to live in my shadow.
Yeah, that's common. And you'll never think that.
And you'll never be as great as me at anything. That's the gist.
Does it change your view of your heroes when you find out that they're just normal people?
When they're just normal people. I think I would find it refreshing if they were just normal people, but there is this cliche, never meet your heroes because they'll often disappoint. Because
they're just normal people. Michael Jordan's not abnormal as a person. Narcissistic or being
I think he's
he
over the top.
Very
he's
abnormal.
Or
the
being
top.
An asshole. Wait, you haven't come across non-famous people who are like that?
Not to that extent.
Very unsuccessful dickheads.
Not to that extent.
There are.
But
now you're just talking money though, right? Or skill.
I also imagine that the success feeds in a way. So like an unsuccessful dickhead hasn't had enough success to become a bigger dickhead. Whereas Michael Jordan's success is so great that it feeds the dickhead side of him.
Right.
It gets bigger and bigger.
I've come across different.
So I'll tell you what. You ask great people who are normal people. Grant Hill for me. Like to me, I don't understand how Grant Hill can be the way he is. Because
do you know Calvin?
Yes, I do know Calvin.
So that's, by the way, look at Calvin, and I want to say it was Janet.
Janet, yeah. She just passed away, by the way.
Yes, that's one of the reasons Grant can be Grant.
But so what I mean by that, so Grant Hill was at a time, he's supposed to be the next Jordan. And I'm not talking about like just in college. I mean, when he got to the NBA, his first 6 years, everyone was like, this guy is going to be one of the five greatest players to ever play basketball. And then because of injuries that were mismanaged by first the Detroit Pistons and then the Orlando Magic, his career was destroyed and ruined. And then he comes to Phoenix, and that's how I got to know him. And he rebuilds his career as kind of a role player and stuff, and ends up in the Hall of Fame. But I caught Grant Hill like after all the bad stuff had happened. And in my mind, I'm like, if that were me, if the world were promised to me, like I earned it, I showed you guys, it's my mantle. And then because of not my mistakes, but mistakes that people were supposed to be looking out for me, it was all snatched away, I would be the most bitter asshole in the world. I would treat everybody like shit because, not because I'm better than them, but because I didn't get what was coming to me for reasons that were not my fault. And when I tell you this dude is the nicest, like he made me, this is the greatest compliment I can give. Grant Hill made me feel ashamed about the way I behave. That this guy can go through all that and still be cool. And I can be a dick because, you know, I didn't get along with someone I worked with or whatever. It made me feel bad. I was like, damn, man, like.
But there's people like that other than Grant Hill.
And you still haven't
but
changed.
Like yes, exactly. Superstars, people of that ilk.
So he was never that, right? What? I wouldn't call him a...
Grant Hill? 1998 Grant Hill. 1998 Grant Hill.
But you can't be a superstar with 1 year. Like Fernando Tatis, for me, is not a superstar yet.
1994 through 2000 Grant Hill.
One of the great runs. And I was a part... That was my... That's the top of my NBA.
Fila.
Right there. He was it, but not sustained.
Six years is pretty sustainable.
That gets you to free agency in baseball. It's pretty good.
I mean,
but it's not. It's above average, but it's not. Listen, that's not Penny Hardaway. He's not a great player. You can't consider him a historically great player. He just got derailed.
Right.
He was great when he played, but not long enough. I'm just commenting that we have heroes, and then we meet them, and we've met so many athletes and spent so much time, but we're in the front office. We're looking at them totally differently than when fans meet the athletes. Sure. Fans meet athletes, and the biggest problem they have is he didn't sign my autograph or he didn't make the winning shot. Right. We're dealing with them on the business side and on the personal side, and we're seeing things about them that say, we don't want to be around you, but boy, you're good at your job, therefore we have to be.
Right.
It's just a different world.
I suppose so, but I think, you know, Charles Barkley's another one where...
You think he could be bitter?
No. I mean, I think he could have been bitter, but it wasn't.
Why would he be bitter? Because he didn't win a ring?
Yeah, I mean, 25 years later, he's still having that tossed at him. They didn't win a championship.
It's part of his being. It's part of his thing now.
In 1996, the conversation was, who's the greatest power forward of all time? And there were two names. There were just two names on that list.
Karl Malone and Charles Barkley?
And what's
I would have
happened,
said Leonard Truck Robinson.
What's happened since then is that Charles has become a TV personality and people kind of just like, yeah, whatever, dude. You weren't that good.
Wait, John Madden was a coach? It happens, right? When you have a second career, it happens.
But when people dismiss your original career, his career is dismissed by many. Charles Barkley wasn't that good.
You know Shaquille, right?
Yes.
Can you confirm this story that I heard that I tell as though it's true and I tell it to players all the time?
Okay.
That Shaquille O'Neal, when he was coached by Lenny Wilkins, was not aware Lenny Wilkins was in the Hall of Fame as a player?
I've heard that. The problem with Shaq is that many of his stories are fictional stories created by Shaq himself. That's the problem. So Shaq has a story where David Robinson wouldn't sign an autograph for him when he was in high school with High school in San Antonio, Texas. And for that reason, every time I play against David Robinson, I destroy him because he treated a child like it was nothing. And there's two problems.
It was a different David Robinson?
No, it was two problems. Number one, that's not David Robinson's character.
He may have been having a bad day, though. You know that.
Sure. But the second one, and this is the most important one, when Shaq was in San Antonio in high school, David Robinson wasn't a Spur. He was still in Navy. He was still in the Navy.
The Admiral.
Meaning he couldn't have gotten an autograph from him or wouldn't have been able to see him?
It never occurred. There was never a meeting.
So he got his timeline wrong.
No, he just made it up.
Oh, why would he make that up?
Because he's Shaq.
But why make up something about Lenny Wilkins?
Because he's Shaq.
That's like a tautology.
You want a great Shaq story? You want a great Shaq story. Training camp. We're in Palm Springs. It was either training camp or preseason. Either we're in Palm Springs. right? We have a breakfast meeting. Shaq walks into the meeting late, sweating, sits at my table. I'm at the table with the video guys and the rookies and like the, you know, the fringe guys, right? Shaq sits at the table and he's calling out of breath or whatever. I'm like, big fella, where were you? He's like, I went out last night and I, you know, because we're a couple hours from L.A. So I went, had this girl pick me up. We went out in L.A. and we went out to dinner. And then I was like, yo, I got to get back because I got camp in the morning. And on the way back, she tried to kidnap me. And she wouldn't let me go. And I said, no, I really have to go. And I was like, just stop the car. I'll get out. I'll find a way home. And she wouldn't stop the car. And so I had to, you know, I grabbed the silverware from the to-go meal and I could threaten her with the knife. And that's how she stopped the car and she let me out. And the rookies and these guys are like, oh my God, I'm in the NBA. It's like training camp. And Shaquille O'Neal is telling me this wild story about how crazy people, you know, women and all this stuff, they're spellbound. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, big fella, I've been to many a restaurant. Nicest, fanciest restaurants in the world. I still haven't been to the one where the to-go silverware is actual silverware. It's plastic. And he looks at me and this huge smile comes across his face. And I'm like, okay, what's the real story? He's like, I was just late getting back.
Right.
He likes to tell.
So like, he's an exaggerator, but the silverware is what gave that story away?
Yes.
Not the kidnapping part?
No,
and
but that's,
that seemed reasonable to you?
It's Shaq.
Plastic silverware. That's the problem with your story, Shaq.
Every Shaq story has an element where he's trying to let you know this shit ain't real.
But the autograph story seems more real to me.
No, but the problem is, it could also happen, right? So I'll give you. So
not the kidnapping
yes,
part.
It so I'll give you. Yeah, I'll give you. I don't know. Wait, I don't know this one.
You don't know that story?
What?
The Shaq Stevie Wonder story?
That Stevie Wonder can see?
Yes.
Yeah. Like.
Well, that was the whole point of you telling the story.
Yeah, right. I don't know the details
of it. Spoiler alert, Stevie Wonder's not blind.
Yeah, but it's like Shaq said, like he says, nice shirt or some shit.
Hold on. Let me put it into, you know, let me dress it up a little bit. So they're going in an elevator, they're in LA, they're in a hotel somewhere, and he's walking in with another player. They walk into the elevator opens, it's Stevie Wonder. He, you know, Shaq walks in, presses the number, and then Stevie Wonder says, "What's up, big fella?" Or some story like that he can see.
I got a better Stevie Wonder story. I know someone who saw Stevie Wonder at the studio outside of a vending machine trying to decide what to get.
How do you know there wasn't Braille?
He was staring at the machine.
I think Samson's like Lieutenant Columbo right now.
No, I'm just annoyed.
Well, you think there's Braille that spells out Doritos or something like that?
How else would they go to a vending machine when you're blind?
They don't.
They don't.
That is just wrong.
They don't. I'm just saying.
Okay, I worked with blind people.
There are blind vending machines?
Of course. What do you... I can't even. Okay. Do you know that most blind people, like the majority, it's not just like
black, yeah,
it's not black,
yeah,
right?
They can
like,
see a so little bit. They can see shapes.
Shaquille O'Neal, it's not like saying the difference, oh, is that Billy or is that Samson? Right? There's a difference right. of a foot, right? Yeah. But not much else. Shaquille O'Neal is right?
Yeah.
And maybe he knew he was seeing him. It doesn't mean he can see, is all I'm saying.
I guess my...
Shaquille O'Neal's quite different. But getting back to it, I'm shocked by the rehearsal.
Oh.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.